Hey, Bobby, you have TCEQ on the line, too.
Yeah.
TCEQ's here.
Okay, all right, good. Thanks, Bobby. Okay, I'm showing 2 o'clock, so we'll call the meeting to order, the TCEQ Tax Relief, the Police Control Property Advisory Committee. I'll make a technical question first. TCEQ, are we ready? Technology is ready to roll for the meeting? As far as you know?
Are we ready, Rob? We're ready.
Okay, great. Thanks. I will make one technology comment, and it's on the agenda for every meeting, but since we're all on the conference call, it might help reduce background noise if you'll put it on your phone on mute and see you're ready to talk. So just a suggestion from past experience, sometimes background noise can get a bit much. So with that, there could have been additional members that have joined the last couple of minutes.
This is Charles Allred.
Okay, hey, Charles.
William Bieber.
One. Jim, Don, or Mike Nancy?
Don is here.
Don's on? Okay. Good. I got an auto response from Tim, so I thought he was going to be on the call, but he's out of town. He's going to call him. So Mike Nancy's not on now, apparently.
I am. Yeah.
All right, good. Okay. Except we have everybody but Tim at this point. Okay, well, we'll get rolling on this, and you saw just a few minutes ago, I sent another email that, which I hope is, includes all the proposals or comments that have been submitted the last couple of days. So I don't know if an easy way to go through this other than, you know, a couple of updates. Don, how about you go first, and I'm thinking of time, because the Charles's will probably take more time to explain, it looks like, so there's no other thought other than that. So, Don, will you kind of reiterate or restate for the record, not to just read all the email, but just kind of go through the main points?
Yes, sir. So, thank you, and we you know, obviously consider obvious from our email that we consider the attempts to look at pollution control use by looking at pollution control benefit as unprecedented and illogical and not supported by the statutes. That those are two separate concepts, and I think that's proven by the fact that logically combined benefits could go well above 100%. If you combine, if you try to say benefits are equal to use, but use can't go over 100%. You can't use more than 100% of a piece of property. So what we have traditionally done with the in this program, and it was created specifically for examples like this, specifically for a HRSG-like situation, is say, let's look at the capital that is tied up in a piece of property, and that capital that is beyond what is necessary to produce is what is pollution control. So it's a utilization of capital analysis, and it's not a production analysis in that it doesn't say, well, what is the improvement in productivity and say the rest is environmental. It doesn't do that at all. And that's been the number one complaint that I've heard, It does that if, in our view, the cap is used inappropriately, and that is to apply a net present value of marketable product adjustment to capital costs old or new, I guess new, excuse me, and not the exact same adjustment to old, which means it washes out. There should be no adjustment in our view in this situation. And in looking at the materials, I spent some time going back and looking at the advice and documents and rules by TCEQ, and I think if staff tells us that Don, that the rules and documents require us to do it that way, then we need to change the rules and current advice or whatever is out there that is requiring us to do it that way, would require the staff and the applicant to do it that way. It's a simple formula. It was put to test by Cyrus in his paper, and Cyrus came up with positive use determinations every time he looked at it from a number of different directions. So it works. It's clear. It's simple. It's consistent. And it ties back completely to the statute. There is no conflation that I think opens things up the challenge of saying, well, benefit equals use. Somehow a percentage decrease in emissions or increase in efficiency equals proportion of utilization of property. So our proposal is to advise the commission to use the precedents and the work that they have done that has worked. It works here. It's simple. It's clear. It leaves no confusion going forward. There is some work to be done by staff and applicants. If this committee wants to go through and do a generalized number and look at some generalized examples like Cyrus has done, and come up with a number for Tier 1, I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with letting the staff and applicants do what they have always done with clear instructions not to get into this net present value of marketable product morass, because it doesn't apply here, it never should apply here, and further, we don't think it should apply to any situation where we have a new technology, that's a new production technology, where the environmental benefit is coming from increased production efficiency.
Okay, thanks, Don. We can either comment now, or it might be easier if everybody goes through their comments again, and then I'm okay either way. Cyrus, would you like to go next?
Yeah, I'd like to respond in that, I put out a lot of examples of different ways to look at this, and I'll say Don's correct that if you just looked at the simplified cap, example that I gave, which is just cost of new minus cost of old over cost of new, he's correct. But in the other examples, I did try to calculate the difference between the production of the new versus the production of the old. And, honestly, I was making, obviously, assumptions about, how much a combined cycle would be used and therefore how much electricity it would sell versus a standard turbine. So I was, in a sense, I don't know if you'd call it net present value, but I was trying to calculate the difference between production of one versus production of others and calculating that in the numerator. So I was doing, somewhat of a tweak of the existing formula that includes marketable product, although in this case it's, it's really electricity B product. I was using a very simplified approach in doing that, in the sense that obviously if you were not to assume that the electricity is exactly the same, you would need to calculate, electricity generated by the combined cycle plant is more of a base output, and so you're going to get a general wholesale price, and electricity from a peaker plant would generally give an output during peak hours, which are, at least in our market, are generally much higher. So I didn't try to look at all that because it gets more and more complicated, as Charles can attest. But, you know, one could argue that you should. But that being said, in the simplified model, depending on which, which construction costs I assumed, I got on the, you know, the 15 to 30% more or less range. But that would be a very simplified approach, but there are other approaches.
All right. Thanks, Charles. I will observe that what Paul sent out was an update, and he's pretty common on that, but the bottom line percentage was Charles' percentage. So I don't know which one of you want to go first, or how about Charles? I'll just go ahead and say this, unless y'all prefer otherwise. Charles, why don't you just go ahead and go through what you, I guess you're thinking to deviate from your prior calculations and where you went with this.
Okay. Well, the proposal I sent out, the spreadsheet that I sent out, was trying to look at this problem from, one, the production side, and then from the other side, the environmental side. And so I was looking at basically what happens to a simple cycle combustion turbine configuration before you add a HRSG and after you add a HRSG. And so based on that data from my gas turbine world, which was really what I liked about that information, is it's current, the current models that apparently they're available and would be deployed if somebody's building a plant. I also like the fact that the notes on the combined cycle specifically exclude duct firing, so we're really getting to the productive benefit and the environmental benefit minus that one little adder that's not going to be part of a HRSG application anyway, or probably shouldn't be. At least I don't think it should. So basically what I did was, looked at all the plants in simple cycle mode and looked at what their power output before you add a HRSG, and then the most comparable combined cycle rating I could find from the combined cycle list in gas turbine world, and looked at what is your additional power output from the HRSG. And you go through the spreadsheet. I tried to lay out the formulas and the calculations, but basically you take the difference in output between combined cycle and simple cycle, and then you divide that by simple cycle output only, and that's how you get to a 49.39% increase in the power output. Then I did the same basic comparison on the heat rate to see what the improvement in heat rate is from adding a HRSG.
Charles, let me remind everybody, if you will, please put your phone on mute unless you're speaking. That would help. Thanks.
Okay. So you basically calculated the average improvement in heat rate based on the gas turbine world data for adding HRSG. And then I averaged the two results to say there's a 40.67% productive benefit. And I'm using benefit as use, as you are using it to improve your power output and your efficiency. So then basically taking 40.67 from 100% and saying that the balance is a non-productive use of 59.33%. And that's the first number I come up with for the productive analysis. Then the next part was looking at pounds per megawatt hour, NOx, based on the specifications for those the simple cycle and combined cycle plants operating at roughly the same megawatt output. And, you know, calculating what those outputs were are for simple cycle versus combined cycle, taking that difference and dividing that by the simple cycle average NOx per pounds per megawatt hour to say what is the decrease in NOx emissions on a pound per megawatt hour basis. We went ahead and used the 5 parts per million as the concentration for simple cycle, because after, you know, digging into this a little bit more, if both types of plants both are using dry low NOx and selective catalytic reduction for part of their NOx control, the simple cycle could reach the 5 parts per million, which is the lower end of the range. It actually easily reached that. And so that was trying to narrow that environmental benefit or reduction in emissions to just what the HRSG is doing. And so when you run that calculation out, the differential between the simple and the combined cycle divided by the NOx rate for the simple cycle, it shows a 71.27% reduction. And then if you average the non-productive use, the environmental use, to come up with an overall use for heat recovery steam generators, that resulted in a 65% determination. What I liked about the approach is, you know, it's the way the other stuff has been done, you know, and this is just from based on what how it has been done in the past, taking the variation pricing, power pricing, fuel pricing, whatever variables go into that financial benefit calculation, you know, that this seemed like this would basically just kind of stay static. You know, variations in pricing wouldn't change that. So, and I understand Mr. Lee's proposal is to remove that part from his two, but that was my motivation for coming up with this approach, was to just look at additional power output, heat rate improvement, and reduction in NOx emissions.
So can I ask a couple quick questions?
Sure.
Well, one statement, I do appreciate that you did stick with the 5 versus 2, which I think, you know, if you're going to build a new plant, it's most likely you're going to have to meet that, you know, those stricter standards today. So I think that's a fair comparison than 9 versus 2. So I appreciate that you did that. My question is,
we're not using both types of controls, so it did not seem an appropriate comparison.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess, of course, it would depend on the particulars and where you're building it, but, you know, I've got to believe in 2019 that, you know, most plants are probably going to meet the stricter standards. My question was on the productive use. Why is it reasonable to look at both output and heat rate? Why not just look at output and say, you know, combined cycle is going to be more efficient, or you're going to get more work per unit of fuel, basically, and just look at the output? Why do you have to average it with the heat rate?
You know, I did it basically out of curiosity, just because I wanted to see what the comparison was, and I wanted to present both to the committee so that they could see what that differential is. You know, looking at just output wouldn't hurt my feelings. I mean, it makes a small change in the result, but it's basically for presentation purposes. I just, if I only produced one number, I didn't want it being a question, well, did you pick that one because it was, you know, lower or high, you know, whatever. I wanted to present both, and so that you had a kind of a complete picture, you know, when you look at the efficiency and the actual additional power output. So, you know, like I said, just mainly curiosity and mainly to just show both to the committee.
And then my other question, I appreciate your honesty there, and my other question was, are all these, I mean, obviously some of these plants in the gas turbine world are for much, you know, what I would call smaller uses. You know, they're 30 megawatts, not 300 megawatts.
Yeah.
And so I don't know enough about the power world to know, are people, I know people are building small gas turbines. I'm wondering if people are actually building smaller combined cycle units out there. Maybe you don't know the answer. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I'm assuming because they frame it with this is what's out, this is what you can buy, and this is what it would cost if you do it this way. I mean, the only way to determine that would be more of that permit review stuff, which takes quite a while to go through. But I was just because, you know, that is technology that is out there. I mean, those are real turbine models. It seemed like a good basis for comparison, and I included the entire population because I really didn't know how to frame that out without going back to
just to be clear, I was in my much less detailed analysis for looking at efficiency, I was just kind of choosing, you know, what's a modern large turbine? It's about a 40% efficiency. And what's a modern large combined cycle? It's more like 60% if you look at the numbers from GE Turbine. So I was just ballparking it, but I don't think our numbers are very different at all. You're basically saying there's, at least on production, there's about a 50% improvement. So I don't think it makes a big difference. I was just curious if you thought about just looking at the larger units.
I just kind of, like I said, I included the entire population. I didn't want it to appear like there was any cherry picking going on. But like you said, if you've looked at it and you didn't see a huge difference, I'm not surprised by that. And you know, I just wanted to present the data in whole. So, that's pretty much it.
Any other comments? Paul, since the industry was kind of based on Charles's analysis, do you want to give any follow-up comments?
I'm sorry, I had my cell phone ringing in the background, Bob. I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
I said since the industry proposal was based on Charles's analysis, 65%, do you have any follow-up comments to what Charles just said?
I really don't think so. I think he explained it pretty well, and his approach. And
okay. Any other questions? Even from the public? I have no idea how many are on from the public, but you're welcome to know. I'll try to pause and let you come ask questions too. Charles, would you address Don's comment, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, that, as I recall, he said something like, looking at productive environmental is not a viable analysis, it's apples and oranges. Can you comment on that, why what you did is appropriate?
I'm sorry. I ask me again. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm asking for a rebuttal to Don's comment, and Don, feel free to restate this, but something to the effect that it's not appropriate to look at production and environmental because of apples and oranges. So why is your analysis viable in your opinion?
Well, I think looking at it from both directions, I mean, you're trying to quantify what it's doing on the environmental side, and then you got to quantify what it's doing on the productive side, and they may not be changing at the same rates. You know, one, you might get a bigger environmental your emissions decrease from your equipment, then you get productive benefit. And, you know, it just seemed like you got to kind of crunch the numbers and come from both directions and see somewhere in the middle is that, you know, your overall use. You're basically, you know, obviously it came out of the environmental part for the 71% reduction in NOx, but your productive side is 50%. And you want to, since you've got both, you're bringing them together to kind of adjust each one for the other, so you're somewhere where you've got your number that is representative of both perspectives. The thing with the cap, too, is that one of the things that we keep running into, I guess the best example of is technology advances. You know, the items that have more pollution control benefit may or may not, you know, have a increase in cost as manufacturing technologies get better. Especially if you look at computers. I mean, you know, the computers you can buy right now, you know, are 1,000 times better than the ones you could buy back in the 80s. And the ones in the 80s, the highest end IBM XT, this is one that I actually worked with at a manufacturing plant, where I'd read in punch tape into this IBM XT, save it to a 5 1/4 floppy to take it over to the new machine, new computer. They spent $10,000 on that machine in the 80s. So, I mean, as that happens, as we get better at making things and make them cheaper, and you get more bang for the buck at a lower price on computer technology, and controls is a big part of all these plants. You say, when you start looking at that cost comparison, when I saw it back in the 90s, my understanding was basically you're comparing a plant that has an existing line and you're making a change to that existing line and you're trying to capture that cost difference. But we're talking about plants that have been built brand new. And I mean, I kind of feel like that comparison is starting to not really reflect that additional expenditure for pollution control. I mean, it's not capturing that actual benefit we're receiving because, you know, over time, I mean, costs can go down. I'm not trying to just go off into the wobbly yonder here, but from an appraisal point of view, your replacement cost new can oftentimes be a little bit less than your reproduction cost old, which is to the current cost to build old technology versus the current cost to build brand new technology. It doesn't take away from the fact that even a HRSG gives you an environmental benefit. So I'm not sure the direct capital cost comparison works real well in this situation for that reason. And as it turns out, trying to find boiler costs to compare to HRSG, I'm not seeing like big boiler installations going on.
Yeah, along those lines, originally I had thought the comparison should be like, you know, two gas turbines plus one steam turbine versus a combined cycle. But it's really hard to even find data on steam turbines for a power plant because nobody's building them nowadays. Like, we have one in Austin Energy Decker that we're fixing to, you know, to shut down because it's so old and inefficient. So it's, people are really only building steam turbines as part of a combined cycle plant. They're not building them separately, so there's just not even data out there on the cost. They are using them for, you know, for industrial processes, but that's a different process. So it's kind of hard to even find data on the cost of a steam turbine for power.
Yeah, it's got right into the same thing. I was trying to research some of that same information.
I guess I'll start with just that observation about, you know, what Charles was talking about is, I mean, I think we all recognize there are pitfalls to all the different approaches. And respectfully, Don, you know, I mean, the simple fact is that, you know, certainly I start with the premise, like John Kennedy made clear, the cost isn't any more about this evaluation than anything else. So every single approach that's being attempted is a surrogate approach. And honestly, hats off to Charles and thank you, Cyrus, for engaging with him because it's the only approach that, frankly, I think has looked deeply at both the environmental and the productive side. There's always going to be an argument that it's not exactly what the statute asks, but I frankly don't see how a cost comparison with all the pitfalls associated with that that have been identified is any more tethered to the statute. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I actually am just trying to raise up that what Charles has done is actually the first, kind of, in my view, comprehensive view of both sides. It's not taking a remainder approach. It's actually evaluating both sides and trying to strike a balance. So anyway, Greg, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I'm assuming we're taking whatever percentage, Charles, and the percentage represents not just the HRSA equipment, it represents the, I guess, cooling time, but we're going to apply this to just the HRSA, right?
Greg, you want to be cutting out? I think we lost his thought there.
Is that Charles? Is he out or in?
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead, Greg. I was listening.
So Charles, what I was just saying was that the 65%, we're looking at, I guess, the technology plant to plant, and so that is just, we would apply that just to the HRSA and not the ancillary equipment that support that HRSA, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's the proposal. But, yeah, I mean, you obviously can't produce the additional megawatts from the steam generated from the HRSA without the steam turbine and the associated generator. But, this is a percentage just for the HRSA. That's what we're talking about, and that's what we've been tasked to do, I believe.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is Don, and I want to thank Charles and these guys for talking about this and for the explanation. I did hear a couple, I thought, important things. One was that they saw this as a precedent for beyond HRSA, because we talked about the need for this, because that was a justification. Because even if it works for HRSA, look, the economy is making things cheaper than before, and like computers, and we need to be able to capture tax deduction on those as well, even when we're saving money, when we're putting in new stuff, if that new stuff helps us be green. That is a fundamental change in the nature of this program. The industry has every right to advocate for that, but let's make sure we see that for what it is. It's a fundamental change from what we've always done before, and let's also note that part of the justification here was, hey, this doesn't work generally across an economy that's producing cheaper, better producing things, and that's very significant. And it's very significant that this is being viewed as a precedent, and that's part of the reason for doing this. Even though the appropriate cap analysis will produce the appropriate tax, the appropriate positive use determination for HRSAs under all the precedents that apply to every other taxpayer, it's not viewed as good enough because of it doesn't set the right precedent for everything else. So that's why we have to go to an analysis that says benefits equals use. And that's the heart of what we're saying. Benefit does not equal use. Something that can go above 100% cannot be the same as something that can only go to 100%. And obviously, there are two different concepts. So that's my view about.
Well, let me just weigh in here, Don. This is Mike Massey. I'll let Charles speak for himself. But let me tell you, I didn't hear him say a single thing you just said. So, let's let everybody talk for themselves. I mean, nobody has argued this should be a precedent. All that has been discussed is the failings of a cost comparison. And the statement of the failings of the cost comparison is not a statement of precedent. It's not a statement that's what we should do in any other circumstance. It's that the cost comparison you're asking, A, what you wrote in your email doesn't even comport with the cap, so there's no alternative being proposed there. But most importantly, Charles is simply making, you know, I think logical observations about the difficulty of cost comparisons. That's not some kind of global, across-the-board, revolutionary statement about how things should be dealt with. It's grappling
Mike,
with the very difficult issues.
Mike, I'm sorry.
I'm going to let Charles speak for himself. I think he said very clearly why he thought he was observing the cost comparisons were, you know, tricky and a slippery slope. And the motion isn't about anything other than this. And Charles is the only one, frankly, who's done the homework, maybe short of Paul and Cyrus, to warrant, you know, that kind of observation.
So, I apologize, yeah. Y'all asked me to comment on what Don had put in his email, and I was, that was a response to that. That isn't something I wasn't even thinking about any other ramifications from this, because I've been heat recovery steam generator focused for the last 2 weeks to the exclusion of my other work responsibilities. So I apologize if it sounded like I was advocating for something bigger, because I wasn't. That was just an observation in response to the question just, you know, that was asked. So whatever.
I appreciate that, then. And then I acknowledge that. What I heard was the discussion about things getting cheaper. And the way this program has always worked is when something that is pollution control equipment becomes part of everyday production because it's just cheaper, better, it loses its pollution control exemption. That's how this program has worked. And
I don't read that in the statute or in the constitutional amendment. It just says something used wholly and partially for pollution control. The nature of a technology curve. I just think that the original comparisons were back in the 90s when this first came along, because I've been praising these older plants and them having to try to comply with new environmental regulations. It was a lot of add-on, a lot of retooling and modernizing existing lines, because, you know, you want to give up, you know, your capital investment. But as that technology has advanced, when you build brand new, it's going to be built more into it from that point, over from years and years of, R&D and experience and, you know, engineering knowledge has expanded. I just think times have changed a little bit. I mean, we still have some of that, but I think it's becoming more and more prevalent that, you know, you're integrating this stuff in, but it still has an environmental benefit. So, I mean, you know, I wasn't trying to get this into anything other than what it was. This was supposed to be for her settings, because that's all I was
talking about. Yeah, I acknowledge that. I'm just kind of, you know, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but that our formula has always recognized that as technologies change, an applicant that comes in 10 years later might not get a positive use determination that an applicant got 10 years before. And you're right, it doesn't say that in with specific words in the statute. It says that in the way the whole thing works. And let's just give an exact example out of real facts. When electric tugs showed up at DFW Airport, and they cost more than diesel tugs, we came up with a process that gave a positive use determination for the delta between the cost of the old and the cost of the new. As time goes on and batteries get cheaper and all that gets cheaper, at some point the new becomes less expensive than the old, and they lose that exemption. You can't come in and get the same exemption anymore under our existing rules and plans. And what I thought I heard and was responding to was an argument that that's not right, and we think it is right, or else we're moving towards doing what we never intended with this constitutional amendment, and that is exempt from taxation productive capacity.
I guess I'm a text doc.
I can't speak to that. So
there may have been a mandate for them to go from gas to electric tugs. I'm not sure. I wasn't there at that time. But that may have been the driver to get rid of a fleet of tugs that was fully paid for and go to an electric fleet of tugs, because they were required to because of emissions. I don't know, Don. Do you?
Yeah, it was under the Clean Air Act at the time, and part of our plan to come into attainment, and so it was one of the measures that was developed to try to bring DFW towards attainment under the Clean Air Act. So it was the same sort of deal of on ways to emit less or to do your things with less. But the point there was, clearly though, is that as the cost things change, as technology changes the cost on the market, the value of that or the size of a positive use determination would change. So anyway, I think we might be getting Mr. Chairman experience. I mean, I'm happy to talk about this, as you guys know, but I don't want to be the one pushing it on.
It does seem like we're getting a bit on a tangent, I'm not saying it's totally unrelated. You think it is? Do we have any comments from other members that have weighed in or had an opinion on one of these three approaches? Or I just want to make sure.
I had a question for Don. To try to understand better his position. I fully understand that you're against the notion that we could look at the pollution benefit of 70 or 75% and just assume that the remainder is production. Do you have a similar objection to figuring out the productive use of the equipment and then taking the remainder of that?
Well, so if we were productive to use, I'm sorry, you said productive use, and I responded to thinking productive benefit.
I don't know how to do product. In this case, what Charles's analysis shows, I have no reason to doubt his math, is that a combined cycle plant on an output basis is about 50%. More than a single cycle plant if you just built it alone, or if you were to look on a heat rate basis, it's 30% or 35% more efficient. And I'm asking you, is that a reasonable approach to look at production and then we already know there's a pollution benefit and then say, well, the remainder would be pollution? Or do you just object to this idea of equating benefit and use?
I object to equating benefit and use, and let me make a quick analogy for you. What if Entergy or whoever, it doesn't matter who, steps up and proposes a new, small, newly modern, whatever, nuke plant, zero emissions, is that... Are we saying that it's 100% exempt?
Are we absolutely not, because they have toxic waste. There's spent control rods. That's an environmental problem. Their pollution is just different than the combustion-based power plants.
I think that's a valid point. So what is it? How are we going to base exemptions off of percentage reductions in emissions and or percentage increases in production? If someone magically develops a methodology to do something that's not a HRSG, but it's something else that is an ancillary generation technology that goes on the plant, and it increases a plant's productivity by 150%. How do we factor that using this methodology? I think it falls apart. I think because it's not related, because use and and use and benefit are not, they're not related. They're different concepts.
And yet you submit that cost and use are related more. And I just don't, I mean, I get why you question what you're questioning, but I just fail to see how cost and use are any more related. And that's what we confront you with.
This is Darrell Attaway. I'd like to speak just a minute. Y'all been battering back and forth. And I appreciate both sides here, but, you know, I'm sort of the newest member on this program here, but when I look at what the original intent of all this was, you know, it gets back to, okay, you've proved that there is an environmental benefit. Okay, we agree there's some environmental benefit. So now the program says, how much extra did you spend to get that environmental benefit? And that's what we're going to exempt. And I thought I heard industry say, in most cases on HRSGs, you're going to spend less. So what are we exempting?
Yeah, again, you're inserting the assumption that the legislature has directed us to assess cost there, and that's just absolutely not true. That's not tethered to anything in the statute. And what we're trying to confront is we've got to deal with these types of technologies in a different way than historically, because the way the cap has been applied, it generates consistently negative use determinations, and the Supreme Court's rejected that approach. Doesn't mean we can't figure out a similar way to skin the cap, but the concept that the legislature directed us to assess the cost of purchases, I don't want us to talk about legislative intent, because legislators don't appreciate that very much. And I want us to talk about what the law says. And I am completely acknowledging that the law talks about productive and environmental use, and we should try to get at that. And I really respect what's being attempted by Charles and Cyrus to work through that. But I don't think we can just say that's bad and cost is better, because that's just not accurate.
Maybe the whole program needs to be rethought about then, if we're able to spend less money and get all the environmental benefits that we wanted. The whole point was, if we're forcing you to spend more money to get to the new environmental requirements, we're going to exempt it. And if that's not the case, maybe this program doesn't need to be in place.
I don't actually agree that it's less money. I think at least the stuff I saw from EIA and NREL and the gas turbine world and Lazard, who does an annual update, they all say that it costs more to do a combined cycle than a simple plant. Now, you do get productive value for that extra cost. So on a long-term basis, it may be more cost-effective, but at least for the capital cost, generally it's going to be more than it would for a single cycle. And I'm not sure why the cap, I don't know why the cap as applied was coming out negative, or is being applied negatively. Maybe it's because people were trying to just compare HRSG versus the steam unit, I'm not sure, versus a whole plant approach. But if you use a whole plant approach, I think the cap can work as one approach.
So this is Don, and I'm going to give a quick answer, I promise, to the question that was asked, which is cost is the best proxy we've been able to come up to for capital. Property tax is a tax on capital, so the question of how is property being used is a question of how is capital being used, and so therefore it's an analysis of the utilization of capital. How much capital has been tied up in pollution control above what was necessary for production? That's what the current cap does, and that's why the cap is structured the way it is. And if there's a better way to get to it, I'm open to it, but I think that the other way falls apart.
Guys, I got to tell you, I'm concerned. It's good to have healthy discussion, but I don't know if we're a whole lot closer than we were in the last meeting. But yet we are facing the dilemma of needing to provide PCQ with advice before Thanksgiving. And as I kind of implied in the letter that I drafted earlier, I did not know there'd be a split vote, but I wanted to plan for that possibility. And I'm just short of saying I'm going to call for a vote, but is there anything that we are omitting that someone hasn't said that we need to consider before getting to that point?
Well, I'm all for like hearing everybody fully out, Chairman. And you know what Don has said in his email, and in a little bit of what Cyrus has teed up is there's another way to run the cap. What we haven't seen is a specific example. If Don, you know, I don't think that we should only consider things like what Charles and Cyrus have proposed. I actually want to hear everybody out. How exactly would the cap be adjusted, and what would the outcome be? I think we need to hear a specific proposal before we can know kind of what option A, option B, option C are. I don't want to call a question just to try to roll everybody. I really do want to hear how would that manifest itself in a specific proposal.
Thanks, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, do you want me to give an example there, Mr. Chairman? I'm trying to...
Sure.
Okay, the HRSG costs $500 million. The steam generation equipment that would be used otherwise would cost $400 million, 20% positive use.
Now, that does depend on which cost publication you're looking at. I mean, there's some variance in those published numbers.
I understand that. And I think that's a true statement for many different. That's a true statement for many different applications in many different areas, and the applicants come up with their proposal, and the staff and the commission consider them. I trust them to do the best job they've always done with that. And you know, I'm not the expert. I can't pick which thing. You guys have more expertise in that than I do. So the point is the program has worked. If we give them that simple formula, what seems to have always pulled this apart has been the net present value thing, which my impression is been inappropriately applied. And if staff tells us that has to be that way because of the rule, then we ought to recommend changing the rule. There's no reason for there to be a net present value marketable product adjustment to capital cost old for a HRSG.
And again, in my analysis, I did look at different slight variations of the cap, you know, that could be applied. I'm not sure there. I was just looking at, you know, the efficiency of one unit versus the other and comparing the difference over the cost of the new, you know, so the cost of the new times its efficiency or increased production minus the cost of the old versus its efficiency or production over the cost of the new. But you can also subtract the difference in energy production. But again, we get into what's the value of energy at different times of the day, and that gets pretty complex if you are going to do that.
I mean, one of the weaknesses with the cap is if you're a less efficient plant, you would actually get a higher percent exemption. So that just stands the reason. You would have higher cost associated with that plant having less efficient. So a less efficient plant is somewhat rewarded in the cap versus a more efficient plant. So the cap has issues. It's had issues. That's why we went from a Tier 4 to a Tier 3 and why we're 10 years down the line here is because the different iterations of what should be in a cap, what would be in a cap, and what is in a cap has been vetted back and forth by engineers, by plant people, by the courts, and so I think this is where we stand today.
Thanks, Ray. I'll pause and ask for any input from anyone else on the phone, including the public.
Just one follow-up on the cap, and I'm beating a dead horse. The most simple cap formula, just like Don mentioned, new combined cycle minus an equivalent capacity of a simple cycle over the new combined cycle cost, and then just applying that percentage to the Herzig, what's the problem with it? Why doesn't it capture the increased cost of the combined cycle that is partially related to the Herzig?
I don't follow you, Cyrus. Go ahead and say that again.
So, again, if you assume from Enril or Lazard that a combined cycle plant costs, you know, north of $1,000 per kilowatt, and that a simple cycle costs somewhere around $850, why isn't it as simple as 1,000 minus 850 equals 150 divided by 1,000, which is about 15%, and then apply that to the Herzig? Which is sort of a, here's the extra amount you paid to get a more efficient but also more environmentally beneficial plant. You're gonna have more production, but you're also going to have less emissions. So we're going to give you a percentage of that extra cost. What's the problem with that approach?
So you're just taking a cost, the differential in cost, and applying that percentage back to the cost?
Back to the Herzig, the cost of the Herzig, yeah.
The efficiency comes in output-based emissions. The efficiency comes from everything to get to that point. So, I mean, even in what Charles's calculation is at 65, that was my question. Is that's for the total environmental efficiency calculation, and that percentage is just being applied, or would be just applied, to the Herzig and not to the cooling towers, the D-min plant, everything it takes to get to that, to give you that lower, better efficiency slash, in this case, the environmental piece, the reciprocal of the production piece. And yet you're already just applying it to what's in the expedited review list. So effectively, it's something...
Yeah, but you've got other things that you know, the any scrubber or low NOx burners are already going to get, you know, be exempted. So it's not like there won't be other things in the plants that are exempted.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
There's other pieces of that plant that would be taxed. So I know we're trying to apply it just to a piece of equipment, and the only reason we're trying to apply it to that piece of equipment is because that's what's on the expedited review list.
Well, it's also because the Supreme Court told TCEQ to do it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right there. But, I mean, so we go through this cost analysis of this cost old, cost new, but the original reason you went from cost old to cost new was to identify the cost of the additional equipment. When that cap formula came out, it was input-based emissions, not output-based emissions, and it was to identify for the muffler or the thing that you had to do to make it compliant. Well, we already know what that is. It's the Herzig, because that's in the expedited review list. So we're doing a math function that's just because it's a math function.
Well, I'm pretty good at math functions, and I like what Cyrus had to say.
Okay.
Tim happened to join? I just heard a ding. Could be somebody getting off. I don't know. All right. So, what's the will of the committee?
Well, I mean, I frankly would like to see what Don's offering. I'd like to see it explained in a motion, and I'd like to have another call. I mean, I don't want us to have a split determination based on, I mean, I think we need to give the commission something more useful than, you know, something. I mean, I'm not sure that that methodology doesn't blow up their cap for other purposes any more than, you know, the very one-off focused approach that Charles has taken. You know, Cyrus, you made a very good point, which is there's a lot of different ways you can skin this cat. I'd like to get some time. I'm not beating up at anybody, but we didn't get any of that exchange until yesterday late. I've been in meetings all day. I'd like a little bit more time to think about it because I don't want to just presume that the way I've been thinking about it is the right way. So I'd like to, you know, for lack of a, I hate to be bugging people on that Thanksgiving weekend, but I think I'd like to have one more call, or we can take an electronic vote, or I don't know how we want to do it, but I'd like some more time.
Any other thoughts?
This is Paul. It's been a challenge to have to get with people and visit about this away from meetings. And from that standpoint, I'm comfortable with having a future call. I've got some thoughts about Cyrus's point, but I wanna think about that a little bit. I just wanna mull that over a bit before I respond.
And depending on the day, I'm either supportive of the tax collector's approach or the industry approach, because I can see the benefits of both. So I'm struggling with this as well, which is why no one's resolved it in 10 years.
To clarify, I don't think we're trying to remedy all of the Tier 3 issues necessarily. We're focusing on purpose. I got a factual question for TCQ staff. Not that, and then I'm kind of ready for this to be over with too, but do we have a little more time? Oh, you want it before Thanksgiving? A lot of people are probably going to be off next week. Would it help to have another call this week? I don't know. I'm just asking those.
So we were talking amongst ourselves, and we think if you guys wanted to meet the first week of December, that might be okay. Room availability pending, of course.
Does it help if we can get everybody in the room? To me, it's always better face-to-face communication, but we can try this again if there's calendar conflicts, and I understand that.
On our end, it doesn't really matter. It's whatever works best for the committee. Right, we have to make sure that we have the room.
So does the committee, would y'all prefer the room or another call? Or do you want me to send a note out like I usually do or occasionally do and ask for availability? with call-in as an option?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe you can leave that as an option, Bob. The thing about it is if you're talking about doing this pretty quick, I think it's going to be really difficult, especially for the folks that come in from out of town, to because, you know, obviously you're talking about an entire day. So maybe if you want to, if you can make it, you can make it, and everybody else call in. I suppose that'd be one way to do it. But
okay. So Walter or maybe Nikki, because I think Elizabeth is that. I usually check agenda room availability with her. Maybe if you can check that for the first week of December, and we'll also note out after I hear from you and ask for availability.
Yes, Nikki will look at that, and she'll get with you, Bob.
Okay. Does that stay logical, everybody? No, I know you. I would encourage you. It's probably easier for me to say because I'm not deep into it like some of you are. But try not to wait until the last minute if possible. Give people some time to think about any possible revisions. If you're talking theory on something, that's fine, but it's good to see calculations on how it might work. Those are just my thoughts. And I certainly have...
I don't want to waste Charles's work, so... I think his basic number is that on a pounds per NOx basis, a combined cycle is about 70% cleaner, not necessarily if you're looking, you know, pounds per megawatt, and that if production is about, you know, 50% more, to the extent we're going to use any calculations with those numbers, I mean, I think those numbers are, well, subject to some more checking, but I think that they seem to be pretty based on some actual math. So I think, I think we might want to stick with those, you know, subject to people looking them over, obviously, but let's not waste the work that he's done. If we could use them, then I mean, now the conclusion is, you know, the increased production or the increased environmental benefit don't matter for the way we want to calculate that. You know, we don't have to, but if we're gonna use that in some way, let's use the numbers that he came up with.
Well stated, thanks. Okay, any other comments? Or I'm okay to check the PCQ for availability and send everybody a note with available times?
Yep. Yeah, okay. And Bob, this is Daryl. I'm okay with that first week of December, but just as somebody in the tax world, as we start, if we can't reach a conclusion pretty quick, schedules start getting real complicated with new work for 2020.
I hear you. Any other thoughts? Okay. Anybody from the public?
I'm just earlier in the week is better for me.
Okay.
And later in the week's better for me.
I'm open all week right now.
Well, it's, as usual, it'll be herding cats, so it's all right.
The only thing more difficult in coming up with a calculation for a HRSG is getting everybody's schedule aligned.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, do we have any additional comments? Do I have it on the agenda? Any old business, new business? All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. We have a motion. Second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion. Second. Those say aye. Of those four, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nay. All right, eyes have it. We are adjourned.
Here's something. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.